Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. My name is Stacy and I am your host. Randy Royal is an incredible safety motivational speaker, and he's a retired safety professional with over 40 years of experience, and he has a really great mission. Safety first, safety always. In this chat, Randy discusses how he may do things differently if he could go back in time, and how sometimes it takes us a very long time to take responsibility for our actions and to forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we've made. All right, I'm back with my old friend. We met last year.
Yes, we did.
And had a great time. So tell me, what's on your mind today, Randy?
Well, you know, as I come to the conference, VPP conference, and I see so many workers from different walks of life who go from this conference back to their jobs and go out there back pounding the rocks, doing the job. You know, the guys that actually turn the wrenches and ladies that are operating the valves. And, you know, they go back out there. Hopefully this conference is going to give them the ability to pick up new tools, new ways of doing things, maybe just a reminder of a few things. So when they get back to their job, they can impact other workers that they work with and their friends and family members too. So I have a workshop here, of course. It's called Randy's Story, How an Accident Impacts More Than Just You. And so it's about an hour presentation. It's about some decisions I made back October of 1987 that all because of complacency. I made some bad decisions, and it cost me a lot. And it cost my family, my church, my community, my coworkers. And that's the backside that nobody realizes when they talk about recordable incident rate numbers or RIR. They don't realize that every one of those numbers represent a person and a family. And the stuff that goes on in the background, all the pain, the suffering, not just of the patient, but their spouses, their children. At the time, I was a very busy man. I had two children, very active, being a professional auctioneer. You remember that? I'm doing auctions for everybody, fundraiser. I'm announcing for the high school football. I'm a choir director at a Catholic church. My life was consumed doing lots for other people. And the decisions I made on October 7, 1987 were, in a matter of seconds, my life changed drastically. I had no idea what I was doing to my own children, my wife, and then later find out what I had done to my coworkers, my company, and also my church, my community. And all of a sudden, a man that had been doing so much now is really not worth anything anymore. And so for those who don't know, I was blown off a tank car, and I landed about 20 feet down, 20, 25 feet down, landed on my head, broke my back in four places. I was paralyzed from the waist down for 9.5 months. That may not mean anything to you, but what it does is you become a 24-hour operation. And you've heard me talk about I have the best wife in the world that she stood by my side. She had to roll me every 4 hours so I wouldn't get pneumonia or bed sores. She had to feed me, clothe me, bathe me, give me my medication. She also had to take care of two little boys and try to pay the bills. And all that happened so quick. She had to quit her job to take care of me because the company played hardball. And, you know, as important as I thought I was to the company, I found out right away that I'm just a number. And so my wife had to, her whole decision-making had to change. And so we went through some tough times where, you know, the lights would get cut off, and then she'd pay that bill to get the water cut off, and we were balancing back and forth. And, you know, at the time, I didn't see the hurt in her eyes because she's such a strong woman, and she refused to show me that. And it doesn't take long to figure it out, though, when all those things were happening. And, I made a promise. I'm not a super religious guy, but I'm a firm believer. I made a promise to God, if he'd give me my legs back, then I would devote my life to trying to make sure other people don't go through what my family went through. And so I started speaking publicly, I guess a little over 16 years ago. And even if my wife is not with me, sometimes she gets to travel with me. I know she's praying for me when I go out, right before I go on stage or into a room to speak, I get praying emojis from her on the phone and saying, Randy, I love you. Knock socks off of them or whatever. And then when I'm done, I always tell her thank you because I know she's praying for me. I pray too before I speak because, I got a second chance, and there's really thousands of workers that don't get a second chance. They just don't daily in this country and across the world, but especially in this country, you would think that by now we'd have it figured out. But we still have policies and procedures out there that are issues. We have distractions. My part was complacency.
So what would you do differently if you could go back in time in the few moments before it happened? What would you do differently?
I've thought about that for years. Matter of fact, I was at my plant. I was at lunch, distracted with that. The tank car that was leaking, they called me on, was our product, our spot inside the plant that I worked at. And when I got the call that it was leaking, I didn't think anything of it. I'm just going to go scope it out. The problem, what I'm trying to say is, I had so much complacency and distractions. And so when I look back at it, I was totally focused. Even though our procedure said you never go on a response by yourself, this complacency had me convinced it's not really a response, right? I'm just going to it. Look at it. And what became of it was I get down to the car, more distractions. We have a turnaround going, flares going. It's lunchtime. Operators are at lunch. There's no one to be found, no one to talk to. I went by myself, and I went on that car all by myself. And all the decisions I made walking on top of that round tank car, of course, it's way before fall protection was required. When it gets down to it, it took me a long time to figure out it was my fault. I did it. I would not, if I could stop the clock and back up, like you're saying, I would not have gone by myself. I would have got other people involved with my decision making. I wouldn't have gone that car without finding that loader. All those things lined up perfectly for me to have the incident. So it really was all due to complacency.
So clearly you're thinking about complacency. That's really the thing that you focus on today. What's your biggest takeaway from, the past year?
Absolutely.
In safety? What have you learned in just the past 12 months? Let's just say 24 now. 12 months in safety, or just about yourself, or okay, anything that you've come to discover.
So because I speak so much, I've made a lot of new friends also. But what I have found as I travel this great country of ours, and if it's a small group or thousands of people, it doesn't matter. What I have learned is there are still industries out there that don't care. They just don't care. And it scares me, and I'm disappointed. And as I tell people, as important as I thought I was, and now there's people have egos, and I can't retire, I can't do this, the company needs me. When in reality, when it comes to it, you're a number. And so what I try to tell people is accidents don't care who you are. They don't. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short, fat, skinny, young, old. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, the languages you speak. It doesn't matter country of origin. None of that matters because the decisions you make, you need to realize we all cut the same, we bleed the same, and we die the same. And so my message to people is, please, let's not do that. I don't want to see anyone's family go through what mine went through. And as many times I've told my wife and my two boys at the time, I'm sorry. I can never take away what I did to them. So
have you forgiven
that's the
yourself?
Biggest thing is accidents are still out there. I had a lot of anger. It took me a long time. I had a lot of anger inside me. I was a mean person. My marriage struggled. My friendship, my family relationship struggled. And it's ironic that we're having this conversation here in Corpus Christi, Texas, because an event that happened here at my very first VPP conference, my company had sent me down to, and I could barely spell VPP, and I came down, and I was invited to dinner with a group from another plant from our company, and I went, And I wasn't friends with any of this one person at the table. And I had, and I'm not anti-union or pro-union, I'm just telling the story. I had a IBEW rep to my left. I had a USW at the time to the right. Had supervisors, frontline supervisors, loaders. I had a safety supervisor across from me. I had an HR manager sitting next to him. And there was a conversation that took place between a young man that was sitting to my right and the safety supervisor. And I had had so much anger in me for so many years. And so the conversation went like this. The young man, his name was Fernando, and his supervisor was Joe. Joe had had a grievance filed on him because he called someone stupid. In reality, he hadn't. He had saw an individual doing something unsafe and said, why would you do something stupid to get yourself hurt? And so a grievance was filed. So the safety supervisor asked the young man, he said, so let me ask you a question. You walk out of a control room and you see someone 8, 10, 12 feet up without fall protection, what would you do? And this young man said, nothing. And I was shocked. And I thought, no, Randy, stay out of it. Took my fork, stabbed me a piece of lettuce, put it in my mouth. And Joe says, well, say that you saw someone 8, 10, 12, 15 foot up, and you said something, what would so-and-so say? And he said, well, he'd say an expletive. And he said, okay, so you saw, you said, he said an expletive to you. What would you do then? And this is the part that got me. He looked right at that safety supervisor and said, I'd do nothing, just like that, nothing. He wants to get hurt. It's his business. And for some reason that night, those words just pierced my heart. And I slammed the fork down. And this, remember, this is the VPP conference, and there's a steakhouse here on Ocean View or whatever, Ocean Front, whatever it's called, full of VPP people. And I slammed the fork down. I looked at this young man. He was a big guy. And I said, are you crazy? And he looked at me like, what? And I said, what's the matter with you? Do you not care? And I started speaking, and I didn't realize that all those years of anger had built up. I started speaking louder and louder. I'm yelling at this point. And I finished up this way. You know what, Fernando? It comes down to, I don't want to go to the hospital and hug your wife, your 14-year-old daughter, and say, I'm sorry, he's so messed up. Because he was too stupid to listen. Now, I'm yelling at this point. You know, safe supervisor's doing this, and the HR manager had his head in his hands. And I said, worse than that. And I had tears running down my face. I said, worse than that, I don't want to go to the funeral home and hug your wife and your 14-year-old daughter and say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He was too stupid to listen. I looked around, and everyone in the restaurant had stopped. Wait staff, everybody, it was dead quiet. And our waitress was standing right there, and I looked up at her and I said, could I get a cold beer, please? And no one spoke to me the rest of the night. No one. There was chatter at the table, but no one would speak to me. And at the end of the evening, I pushed my chair back. All I could think is, man, I'm so fired. I'm so fired. How am I going to explain to my wife I'm getting fired for this? And I pushed my chair back. And this young man said, Mr. Royal. And I said, it's Randy. He said, Randy, you know what? What you said is true. We got to be our brother's keeper, our sister's keeper. And I'm sorry. I said, no, son, I'm sorry that I lost control, because I've never lost control like that. Daddy raised us that if you lose control, then you just gave someone else control. So he said, no, sir, what you said is true. And I came back from that conference. So I went to the room that night. I called my wife and said, hey, I'm probably fired. And she said, what did you say now? That was her first response. And I told her what happened. She said, why would you do that? And I said, I couldn't stop it. It just, all these years came out of me, Andrew. And, you know, I came back to the plant. I came back to headquarters thinking, I'm so fired. And, you know, I never got called in. And I had a friend of mine say, that was there that night, say, Randy, have you ever thought about sharing your story? And I said, man, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And he said, man, I think you could. So I went back to our headquarters, and we had quarterly safety meetings. And so I got up, and I decided to share about 10 or 15 minutes of it. And when I did, my son was interning with us, my oldest son, and he remembers. And he was sitting back there, and a chair, and he was bawling. He's just crying. And when I only shared about 15 minutes. And when I finished, I walked off the stage, went back, I hugged my son, and I said, "What's the matter, son?" And he said, "Daddy, I remember. I remember." So that's why that was beginning. And it's ironic that happened at this conference, VPV conference in Corpus Christi, Texas. So I'm always happy to come back to Corpus. This is really where God opened my eyes and said, "Randy, I've had a use for you. I had a plan for you all these years, and you just didn't know it." And now, so when I go out, I always say,
You're inspiring.
I'm doing God's work now.
It's so nice to hear, you know, talk to someone that's so vulnerable. So thank you so much. So where can people find you?
Well, I have a website. It's of course, it's Randy Royal with two L's, randyroyal.com. You find me on Facebook, LinkedIn.
Okay, so if you want to hear more Randy's story, go to the website. If you want him to speak, just get a hold of you. You're a great presenter.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We will see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.